Good morning, good morning. Let's all stand for the doxology, please.
We're so glad that you're here in the Lord's house this morning. Weather is not conducive for wanting to get out and around, but you're here, and we appreciate that. And then I know that there's some folks that because of their age or their physical ability, they're not able to get out, but the Lord understands when age or physical problems keep us from coming. But I was just sitting here thinking, how many thousands will be sitting out there in this mess watching the Panthers play this afternoon?
Not many.
They're giving away tickets.
Well, I saw that the tickets were 45 cents if you wanted to. I had somebody tell me last night if they'd give them about $45,000, they would go. if any of you happen to watch the game that Appalachian State played last night in the in Orlando, it was a mud bowl.
Played in the mud.
It was raining like this, like crazy, and they were sliding all over the floor. 13 fumbles, and I don't know all the other mess. It was a mess. But you know, the good thing is that we can come, and it's dry, and it's warm, and it's not just the building; it's the fellowship. That's what makes a difference. I was texting back and forth with a lady this week that's been a friend of mine now for 70 years. And we went to North Albemarle School together back in the olden days. And we were talking about some mutual friends. I said, oh, I said, we don't go to church. I said, those mutual friends said, we just watch. And they named off a certain preacher on TV, and it's not one I would recommend that you watch, so I won't mention his name. So I texted my friend back, and I said, you reckon they can text that preacher and he'll text them back? You reckon that he'll come in and preach somebody's funeral? You reckon he'll come in and counsel them if they've got a problem? Probably not. I said, in the fellowship. I just miss you guys when we're not together. And, you know, and each of us have Christian friends that are in other churches, and we miss the fellowship. And it's so good that we can get together. And it's so good that one of these days we're going to get together and we're going to fellowship for now to 10 trillion years. And then we'll just begun. Just begun. So we're glad that you're here. I know Leonard will say more about it later, but be sure and come back tonight if you're able. Special program. We hope that you'll enjoy that and be blessed. Maybe pray. Lord, it's good to be in your house. It's good to fellowship with our fellow believers. Father, it's just so wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to know that you love us and that because you first loved us, we can love you in return. And know because of the Jesus in us and the Jesus in our brothers and sisters, we can love one another because we're all a part of the family of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, we pray that those that are here, anybody that might be in the parking lot or anybody that's listening later on the website, Lord, that the same Holy Spirit that's here in this building will be in their home or their car or wherever they are. And that same Holy Spirit, we give them the blessing that they need. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. And good morning again, everyone. And good to see you all here this morning. Let's have our Christmas hymn sing this morning as we all stand and sing Joy to the World. And indeed, it is a joy to be here. Let's stand, please.
Let earth receive the King
welcome someone, please. I do have quite a few announcements to share with you this morning, so I'll just start when talking about next Sunday. Next Sunday, we will have a service here on Christmas Eve, and we will ask that you come and be here. Our children is going to play a big part in the service next Sunday, and so please be sure that you come and support them. We'll look forward to that for sure. Tonight, I don't want to forget tonight either. We're going to have special service here tonight at 6, and your praise team is going to be here. We're going to be directing the service tonight where the praise team will be. And also, we'll be asking you to join in with some carols, too, as we go along. And whatever the Lord leads, we'll have. But we're going to have a good time tonight. And then after that, we'll go down and have fellowship together like we're prone to do so much around here. We love doing that together. So please come and be part of that. I want to also share with you that next Sunday, we want you to plan for a love offering for our pastor for Christmas. And also, we'll be taking this love offering for the next two Sundays. So next Sunday and then the next following Sunday as well. That'll give you a chance to be able to plan for it a little bit better. So please be sure that we do that. All right. And also the bags. You'll see the bags at the front door and the back door, or whichever one you want to look at that. But we have the bags here, the Christmas bags. The church is going to give you all a special gift, all of you today. And then tonight, as you come tonight, there'll be some new tonight. We're going to have the bags available again tonight. So if you miss your bag today, you can always get it tonight. So it'll be ready for you then. So I appreciate everything that went into getting these bags ready. I think, Grant, you and the children spearheaded that pretty well, and we appreciate it. I know you had all kind of help yesterday, and we appreciate all that. So getting the bags together and all of that. All right. Lottie Moon, church surveys. That's one thing I didn't talk about. Please be sure, if you have not done your church survey, and you don't even have, if you don't have one, we still have some up down in front. Please, by next Sunday, ladies, please turn them in. The reason we need for you to have them by next Sunday is the deacons' meeting will be the following week, and we want to be sure that we have these for the meeting. So please do your surveys, and I appreciate that very much. Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Well, this is for this month, and you know how many days are left and how many weeks in this month. So please be prepared for that. We've already talked about the Christmas program, and the children's going to be involved in that tonight too. And we're looking forward to the children coming down and being part of the program tonight as well. So just come and support us tonight and have a good time in the Lord. I know the weather outside is frightful, but it could be a lot more delightful. There's a song there somewhere. Just know that you'll get here, it'll be dry in here, thanks to Grant and a bunch of the other people. We don't have leaks anymore, so you'd be sure that you know that too. So, all right, Christmas card directory, thank you for Kathy and all of you who did the work to get those Christmas cards together. They're in your mailboxes, folks. Go out there and get your Christmas cards. As you leave today, be sure you pick up your Christmas cards. They're out there. Okay. Golden Agers. The Golden Agers will be having a time together for Christmas, and we'll be doing that Wednesday, December the 20th. We'll meet here at the church. We'll meet here around 11, and we'll be going up to the Golden Corral and tying on the feedback, because I want to tell you, that's a place to go if you're hungry. Right now, it doesn't sound so good to me. But I'm going to get there. God willing, I will be ready to roll and do that. So please become your Golden Agers. Come. Now, you don't have to be as old as I am to come. Just come at 50, 55 or you just can't. Just come. We'll be glad to have you. Come and join us and be there for that. All right. Next Sunday will be, as I said already, we will be having a Christmas Eve service. We'll also be having a joint service for Sunday school. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is we're not going to have the joint service here in the auditorium. We're going to have the joint service on the large room that the adults go to in the far right. Out here. There's plenty of room there for everyone. So you all come there. And I've already talked to Pastor Jim, and he'll be teaching the lesson. So you all come and be ready to come out there to the main, the large room on the right, okay? So that'll be for the joint service for Sunday. Now, Jeff, I need for you to, if you're ready to, you want to give us a report on all that hard work that went on yesterday, sir. Way, man.
Thanks to those that cooked Friday night, Gary, Robert, Dennis, Larry. I can't thank anybody else. We had a good time, good fellowship, and then the next morning, thanks to the ladies, they and Rosina, they made sure that all the buses got out and picked up.
Well, I came down and I noticed that Lionel had a pretty good assembly line for him down there, and I think that got out the door pretty quickly. So I know there's a lot of people got involved in that, and so we thank you all. It takes a team to make something like that happen and happen the way it did, and it was just error-free. And so thank you.
I forgot about the folks wrapping.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tonda. Get them out of there.
No problem. Yeah,
I
know. I don't know how you do it either. But I can tell you this, it's all in the sauce. Remember that, it's all in the sauce. But there's a joke there inside. I won't get into that. But by the way, my son called me last night too, and I'll give another testimony. He said it's the best barbecue we'd ever done. So I want you to know that too. So, and he's pretty tough on it. I mean, he knows. So he said it was delicious. So everybody enjoy, and I'll go from there. All right, have I forgot anything this morning? Okay. All right, with that being the case, now we'll go to our prayer request this morning. Do you have any? Robert?
Yes, Chris Hopkins.
Oh, yeah.
He's got like two more chemos left. I went by and seen him yesterday.
Okay.
Lost the butt.
All right. Yeah, we've got him on our list anyway. We'll keep praying for him. We sure will. Absolutely. Amen. Are there others? Okay.
And remember, Bonnie Lee tomorrow, she got the report last week, and she will start her, I don't know if it's chemo or radiation, she'll start her treatment tomorrow. So just be in prayer for that family. She's doing well.
That's Gerald's wife, right?
Gerald's wife.
You all know Gerald Lee, I'm sure. Yes?
The family of Doug McCall.
Doug McCall.
Passed away yesterday.
All right, are there others? I'm going to ask that you would please lift up our praise team tonight as our service goes tonight. And if while you're doing that, you can remember me. I don't want to sound selfish, but God's going to have to touch my voice, and He will. He will. But I need prayer. So remember that tonight, okay? All right, are there others? Yes, sir.
Pray for my sister-in-law, Kay Hopkins.
Kay Hopkins?
She's having some heart issues, and they're talking about putting in a pacemaker.
Okay. Yes, okay.
They are both now out of the hospital and together at a facility.
Okay.
So are looking up a little bit more for them.
Wonderful, wonderful. All right, others? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you, Lord. And yes, Lord, we do thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for the rain. Lord, we know the rain has to fall. And we appreciate that the rain that comes. But now, Lord, we ask that you would give us those that blessing here today. A special blessing, Lord, for those that are here and prioritize their time to be right here in their place this morning. We thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness. Great is their faithfulness, and we thank you for that. And Lord, as we've heard this morning of all the people who've got involved this weekend and weekends before, time and time again, they are in their place. And time again, is successful. And oh Lord, we appreciate that so much, and we thank you for them. We thank you for their leadership. We thank you for all who came. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for those come just to come to work. We thank you for your blessings, Lord, we do. Now, Lord, there are those who've been mentioned this morning that we want to lift up to you, Lord. We want to lift up Chris Hopkins this morning as he is suffering with cancer. Lord, we pray for healing of his body. As Lori gave us a praise report from Amanda, Lord, we thank you for answered prayer. Sometimes we don't thank you enough for answered prayer, but we do thank you, Lord. Bonnie Lee, Lord, who is suffering with cancer as well and is going through treatment next week, we pray, Lord, for her. We pray, Lord, for her family, Lord, who will be supporting her through all of this. As Gerald has spoken to me many times about it, Lord, we pray for that family. Lord, we pray for Doug McCall, the family. Then, Lord, as we look at Miss Kay Hopkins, Lord, the heart condition, Lord, we pray for her. And, Lord, we pray, Lord, for Tonda's. We thank you, Lord, for Tonda's co-workers who gave a special report, that a praise report as well. We thank you for them. And then, Lord, as we go forward tonight, Lord, in our praise team and in our Christmas service, we ask your blessing upon our service as a whole. We ask, Lord, that you will be with us tonight. Anoint our voices. Anoint our voices that we'll be able to sing your praises. That people will be able to understand, and it'll be a blessing to their hearts and to their lives. And Lord, I'd just like to end the prayer by saying happy birthday. We thank you, Lord, for your Son who came that we may have life. And these blessings I pray in your name. Amen. Our Christmas song, let's all stand and sing, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. What a beautiful, beautiful story it is. Let's sing. Triumphant at last. Tell of the years of may be seated.
Kids, you are dismissed. You know that.
I hope you paid attention to the words of the song we just sang, because it's a good backdrop for what I want to share this morning. You know, it starts about at age 2, both in the home and in the preschool. Little Johnny says, "I don't like Billy anymore. He won't let me play with his tractor." And little Susie says, "I don't like Jill anymore because she won't let me play with her dolly." And from then to our deathbeds, folks have divisions, splits, disagreements, divisiveness, and it goes on and on and on. Now, sometimes it's parents and children. Sometimes it's grandparents and children, grandchildren. Sometimes it's brothers and sisters, neighbors, co-workers, church members, husbands and wives. A lot of times, it's not that big of a deal. Usually by the next day or the day after, Johnny and Billy are back playing together, and one of them's got a truck and one of them's got a tractor, and they're cool with playing together. But you know, sometimes disagreements and hurt feelings go on for years and years and years. I've known of some that lasted 50 or 60 years. Incredible. I've known of, divorces. Wars, all kinds of things, because people are at odds with one another. Well, I was thinking along those lines. You got to thinking, in order for fellowship to be restored, what's got to happen? One of those people has to go to the other and say, "I'm sorry. I apologize. I hurt your feelings. I did you wrong. I'd like to make amends. What can I do to make it right?" And then this other person has to agree. "I forgive you. Let's restore our friendship." Or what I think is even harder is this. You got these two people disagree, and one goes to the other and says, "Listen, you hurt my feelings. You did me wrong. But I forgive you. And I want to restore our relationship." And again, this person over here has to agree. And I think it's a little harder whenever you're the one that's been done wrong to go and say, "I want to make it right." But that has to happen for the fellowship to be restored. And you know, both parties have to be willing and agreeable for that fellowship to be restored. You remember Jesus told us, if you come to the church and you start to put your offering in the offering plate and you realize you're not getting along with somebody, you need to go make it right with them and then come back and give your offering. Did you ever wish he hadn't said that? But fortunately he did. Now the Bible also teaches us, "As much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men." Now the Bible is real and realistic. There are some people You could promise to give them a crisp new $100 bill every time you saw them. Get out on your knees and kiss their feet and sacrifice your firstborn child, and they still wouldn't be agreeable to getting along with you. They just absolutely are not going to get along with you. But the bad feelings can be on their part, not yours. With that in mind, turn to Luke 2, Christmas story. We're just going to read a couple of verses, and then we're going to look at a whole different concept. Luke 2, and we just sang about it. Verse 10. The angels said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The angels came to those shepherds and said, "I got good news for you guys. It's good tidings. It'll lead to great joy. And it's not just for you assembled shepherds here on this hill outside of Bethlehem. It's for everybody. I've got good news, great tidings. It's for you." Now, what does that mean? If you really want to understand what that means, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to tie it together. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll begin at verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the ministry or the word of reconciliation." You see what that says? God says, "I'm going to be the one that goes to the people that have offended me and try to make peace with them." In a sense, when Christmas came, the good news of great joy to all people was this. God came to us and he says, "Listen, folks, you offend me. You have sinned against me. You have violated my precepts. You have broken my laws. You have hurt me. You have hurt one another. You have had other gods and goddesses beside me. But in spite of all of that, I love you. I want a relationship with you. In spite of all of the things that you have done that were wrong, I want a relationship with you, a restored relationship with you that will last both now and forever. I want to give you peace now and a relationship with me for all of eternity." He said God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God was coming to us saying, "Listen, folks, you're in the wrong, you have messed up, but I still love you. I still want to come to you. I'm coming to you with an offer of fellowship, an offer of repentance, an offer of forgiveness, an offer of love, an offer of the presence of my presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life forever. I'm coming to you with an offer of heaven and eternal life. I want you to be a part of my family." God was in the world reconciling us to Christ. Now, I think that's a beautiful description of what good tidings of great joy is, that God took the initiative. God didn't wait for us to come to him and say, "Sort of occurred to us, God, that we messed up. Any way we could work this out?" No, God took the initiative. In fact, God took the initiative from the beginning. You remember the scripture says, the lamb that was slain from when? The foundation of the world. God took the initiative. He knew he was going to take the initiative. He knew he was going to send his son. And we have a choice. We can accept it or we can reject it. We can say, oh Lord, thank you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for that offer of salvation. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we can accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we can have eternal life. Or we can reject it. I've gone to people and apologized and they don't want any fellowship. And probably you have as well. And there are people that you talk to about you need to be saved, you need to know Jesus. And they don't accept it. So we can accept or reject God's coming to us and say, be reconciled. Be reconciled to me. Let's do away with that gap of division that's between us. And then notice he goes on there at the end of that verse 19. He's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And then you go on 20 and 21. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For we have made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He says, you know, once we accept that, God gives us the ministry to share it with others. To go to folks and say, listen, you can be reconciled. I just happened to think of a guy that in one of my churches got elected as a deacon. I mean, you'd have never thought when I first met him that he would, but he did. His whole life turned around and he got elected as a deacon. And right after that, he came to me and said, Ed, I want you to know that so-and-so's been mad at you for 7 years. I didn't know he was mad at me. But I went to the guy the next day and said, hey, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I offended you. And it was so foolish. You know how the pastor's study is back here. I can come out the door, I can turn left or I can turn right. I came out of the pastor's study and turned left or right. And unfortunately, if I turned left, he was at the right and I didn't speak to him. Or if I turned right, he was at the left. Anyway, I turned one way and I didn't see him because I turned the wrong direction and he's been mad for 7 years because I didn't speak to him some Sunday morning. Well, you know. But I wouldn't apologize, but he wasn't gonna make it right. But I appreciated this new deacon telling me so that I could make an offer. I could make an effort to get reconciliation. And we have that opportunity. There are people all over the world that don't know Jesus died for them. Jesus wants them to be reconciled. Oh, how the devil loves to say to us, you are such a rotten sinner, God could never love you. God could never forgive you. God could never save you. And yet over and over again, if we go and say, listen, the devil's lying to you. The good news is that God loves you. God sent his son so that you can be reconciled to him. I want to read just a couple of other verses that say the very same thing. In Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and with the household of God. You see, God lets us know he wants to reconcile us. And then in Colossians, the first chapter, same thought. Verses 19 through 22. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. The message of the New Testament is that the good news that came at Christmas was God's attempt for mankind to be reconciled to him. And that's you and me, to be reconciled to him. As I said a moment ago, the devil likes to lie to us. And he says, you can't be forgiven. And if we get saved, then the devil comes to us once we mess up. And he says, you say you're a Christian. Look at what you did. God will not forgive you. God will never forgive you for that. And if you did come back and you messed up again, and about the third or fourth time, the devil will say, three strikes and you're out. Now let me ask you a question. And we need to think about this, and we need to share that with others. Would God be more stringent on you than he is on himself? Would God hold you to a higher standard than he holds himself? Now you think about it for a moment. Old Peter, the Jews said three strikes and you're out. Old Peter goes to Jesus one day and he says, Lord, what if I forgive my person that hurts me seven times? I mean, he's feeling pretty good. He was doubling plus one what the Jewish law was. Jesus said, no. 70 times seven. And in one scripture, it says 70 times seven in a day. Now, if Leonard offends me 490 plus times today, Jesus said I'm supposed to forgive him every one of those 490 times. And just keep right on forgiving him. Now, if I'm supposed to forgive my brother an infinite number of forgivenesses, how much more is God, our Heavenly Father, going to forgive us? You can't forgive more than God's going to forgive. He wants that reconciliation. He wants that reconciliation. And you know, in 1 John, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful to just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a beautiful thing it is to know that I don't deliberately sin, I don't want to sin, but I'm going to mess up. But God, who is infinite in mercy and grace, forgives my sin. Coming down the road this morning, I got to thinking about this. There's one thing God has a problem with, and that is when we don't forgive. You remember in the Sermon on the Mount? Not Sermon on the Mount. Well, it was in the Sermon on the Mount, but Jesus taught us about the Lord's Prayer. And there's a little phrase that says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, or forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, just depending on your translation. And then after Jesus finishes the prayer, he says, now, if you don't forgive your brother, God's going to have a problem forgiving you. That's another one of those hard sayings of Jesus. He's saying we need to have a heart that forgives. We need to have a heart that forgives. Because if I don't have a heart to forgive, there's something about a hardness in me that's ruining my relationship with my Lord. When I'm right with God, I'm going to want to forgive. Now, I can't make you forgive, accept my forgiveness. I can't make you love me, or I can't make you want to get along with me. But I can have my heart right, and you can have your heart right. It's our choice. There's something about the presence of Jesus totally ruling and reigning and controlling our life that causes us to always desire to be reconciled to God and to be reconciled to our brothers and sisters. There's just something about it. And you think about in the Bible, Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them. I mean, these guys have just lied about him, persecuted him, disfigured his body, nailed him to a cross. And all he'd done is healed them, fed them, blessed them. And he says, Father, forgive them. You say, well, that was Jesus. What about maybe 50 or 60 days later? When the stones were rolling down on Stephen, he says, Father, forgive them. Lay not this sin to their charge. I mean, he was just ordinary Christian. But he had discovered the peace that comes from forgiveness. He had accepted the forgiveness of God, the reconciliation of God, and he extended to others. Did it make a difference? Who held the coats, guarded the coats of the guys throwing the rocks? A guy named Saul of Tarsus. And it wasn't long until Saul of Tarsus was Paul the great apostle. You think being forgiving and loving when it hurts doesn't make a difference? You'd be surprised, the witness, the powerful witness that goes when the love of Jesus shines through you to bless others. The good news of Christmas is this. We didn't deserve it. We didn't take the first step. God did. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Or as Paul puts it there in Corinthians, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Oh, friends, we've got some great news. Great news. Tell folks, every time you see a Christmas light, be reminded God's arms are outstretched saying, I love you. I want you to be a part of my family. Receive Jesus and be reconciled to me. Now, I imagine that everybody here is a believer in Jesus Christ. There may be somebody that's listening later on the website that's not. Would you receive Jesus? But all of us know people. All of us know people that aren't ready to step out into eternity. The devil's been lying to them that they can't be forgiven. But it's all a lie. Would you, as best you could, under the leadership and power of the Holy Spirit, share that good news? Say, Christmas is about good tidings of great joy that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And you might be surprised as you lift up Jesus. What the Holy Spirit might do in somebody's life. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? And I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit to show you somebody in your mind that's not a believer in Jesus that you could share Jesus with this week. Maybe a friend, it may be a neighbor, maybe a member of your household. But in your heart, you know they need to be reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But right now, would you just pray for them? Pray for the Holy Spirit to be working in their lives. Pray for the Holy Spirit to open the door for you to share Jesus with them. Pray for their salvation. Pray that this Christmas they might receive the greatest Christmas gift of all, Jesus as Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for the promise that says if Jesus be lifted up, he will draw men to himself. Father, I pray for our congregation that this week, everywhere we go, we'll lift up Jesus. Lord, may we not be worried about lifting up Santa Claus or Rudolph or one of the other reindeer or one of the elves or the Grinch or anybody else. May we be concerned and committed to lift up Jesus. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.